Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Selvan. I'm a Link specialist at Microsoft, and this is Brendan Carrius. He's a principal architect at Cloud Solutions. Brendan's also used to be ex-Microsoft, and he started up his own business now. This afternoon's session is going to be about Link and how do you enable Link in a voice deployment, or how do you enable enterprise voice or telephony features within Link? So before I kick off, to make this session more exciting, we've got some giveaways for question and answers. We've got giveaways from both Plantronics and Jabra, so feel free to ask your questions, and we've got all these things that has to be out before we get out of this room, so feel free to ask questions.
It has to be a good question.
Exactly.
And you need to be, able to catch, because I'm not walking. Yep. It may not go to you, though.
And we're not replacing that either. Okay. So just a quick show of hands, guys. Did you guys attend Andrew Ehrsing's session yesterday on Link conferencing and Link high availability and survivability? Excellent. Okay, good. Okay, so... So for today, we're going to have a few key things. The first thing is to understand what are the key features in Link Voice or the telephony workload within Link. And we're also going to talk about how you can move forward from your existing PABX solution into a Link Voice deployment, either be it in a pilot situation or expanding from a pilot to a full-blown voice deployment. So we'll cover a few scenarios where you can start off at a site or you can start off at your head office and move forward and expand them. And we'll also talk about methodology because it's really, really important to look at voice as a feature where it is very, very critical to your business. So you'll need to have a planned methodology for rolling out Link. So whether even if it's a pilot stage or if you're going to expand it into a particular site and then move into your different scenarios that we're going to describe to you. So it's really important to follow that methodology that Brendan will describe later on. So when we talk about voice, right, I mean, you're talking about replacing your existing telephony system with Link. So the next question is, you know, how resilient is Link? And hence I ask, I mean, if you haven't attended Andrew's session yesterday, go and download this session on high availability and survivability. You can make Link as redundant as you can. At its core is a set of features that is highly resilient within Link. Miercom have tested Link Server, and they say that Link is one of the first IPPABX and UC systems that they've tested which has withstood over 4 million calls of SIP calls without actually dropping them across 13 days. This report is available on the internet for download. You can go search and actually get a copy for yourself.
So does anyone have a requirement to handle more than 4 million calls, just so we can set that scene today? Sorry?
You can architect to busy hour as well.
I'll just add to this. Download this report and just read it for your knowledge as well.
Because they've got some reference architectures in the report.
Correct. And they've also got a bunch of security penetration testing that they did against Link. And it also helps the whole edge discussion and how, you know, it's secure by default, it's encrypted by default, and this report goes into all those aspects.
And for those of you that are interested in the security discussion or the edge discussion, tomorrow morning there's a session EXL312 that goes over edge security. So that's going to be a full-on session on discussing every feature on the edge server, how to federate and things like that. But also, following this Link session, we've got an interoperability session. So for those of you that actually want to talk about interoperability with an existing PABX in detail, the session straight after this in Central A, which is EXL306, that is going to talk about interop with a PABX. Okay, so this is a statistic on a deployment that was for a 10,000-seat displacement with Link as a voice solution, where the customer was interested in deploying Link, but he could not deploy Link as a voice solution straight away to all his 10,000 seats. But so it was a journey to go from his existing PABX across a 3.5 period where he moved away from his existing platform into a Microsoft UC platform, and he actually did this with OCS and then with Link. So Link is actually in its third iteration. So with OCS R1, we had some voice features. With R2, we had more voice features, and Link has added on to that, especially in the terms of redundancy, survivability, and some core features such as CAC. For some customers, it may be that you need to keep your existing PABX investment because you may have just bought your PABX in the last year or so. So you don't foresee yourself replacing your existing PABX in the next 3 years or 4 years or 5 years. So for you, there is a journey where you can include Link voice feature set in your existing deployment and coexist with your PABX. So this is a journey where customers have started deploying Link as a voice solution, and we expect them to actually take a few years before they start scaling up with voice on Link and coexist with your PABX. So depending on your situation, you may choose to actually replace them or coexist with them, and we'll go through those scenarios here. So speaking of telephony feature set, right? I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is, what is its feature set? You know, you expect your regular feature sets that you expect out of your phone system, you know, pick up, hold, transfers, conference, call parks, make a call, receive a call, outbound calling, whatnot. All of those is available. What is also available is we're not restricting ourselves with just the Link server and Link endpoints, but there's also an ecosystem behind Link, which is what makes it really valuable. You're not tied down with one vendor is what we're trying to say. So all of this, the ecosystem makes Link as a telephony very, very appealing. And then on the back of that comes high availability. How do you architect Link for a highly available solution? So as I said, Andrew covered a lot of this yesterday in terms of how you can make this highly available. So you can have multiple servers in the core where it fails over to each other seamlessly, and depending on what workloads you want to fail over, you can have just voice redundancy, or you can have voice conferencing and IM redundancy as well. So you can decide on what architecture you want to have. And yet, all of this, you have central Active Directory. We like to call it, you know, the central source of truth, where you've got names and numbers already in Active Directory, and that is what drives Link. So Link itself, per se, doesn't have a dial plan for those of you that are wondering, you know, am I going to have two dial plans and things like that. So it really routes everything by SIP URI or a SIP ID, which is what Link uses to, say, call from A to B, or, you know, if I was calling to Brendan, I'm actually dialing by a SIP URI. But at the same time, if I want to dial a mobile number, I can yet do that using a minimal dial plan that I can deploy within Link. And if you've got existing infrastructure, and I'm sure some of you have seen this with the conferencing session that was there yesterday morning, how we can integrate into a Polycom infrastructure. If you have a Polycom endpoint, you can actually bring that as a SIP endpoint residing directly on Link and actually right-clicking and calling these Polycom endpoints. So it's not just Polycom. I mean, you can also integrate into other Microsoft environments, SharePoint, Office, and all of these things which surface your Link, click-to-dial functionality within these applications. So again, coming down to, you know, telephony feature set, one of the key things that in OCS we didn't have that we brought in with Link is call admission control. There was a huge requirement where if you're calling from branch to a head office, or, you know, where you're traversing links or across the WAN, you want to be able to say, I can only transmit X amount of calls or X amount of bandwidth on my video call. That's something that we've introduced in Link. So you can mark your packets, you can send them through the right queues to honor the call quality. You can say that, yep, my link from here to Sydney is just 2 meg, and hence I can send in maybe 10 calls or whatnot. So you can restrict all of those features. For more details on how to configure CAC, go to this evening session on Enterprise Network, which is the last session for the day. So we're going to be badgering you with a whole lot of Link from now to next morning. But that's an excellent session where Vakhtang is going to cover how actually you set call admission control, and he's actually going to do a demo of a call driving packet loss into the call and show you actually how Link is resilient across that packet loss. Right. The other thing that when you talk about telephony is you've got many branches. Can I do least cost routing? So, you know, you want to be able to call from here to Perth and then exit at Perth for a call that you actually, you know, may dial 08 numbers. So you can do that in Link. You can set up a least cost routing and toll bypass within Link as well. So things that you expect in a PABX is there now in Link. Okay, as I said, this is our ecosystem, right? I mean, we don't want you to be locked down because you have Link. You can go out and buy, you know, all these different types of devices that are out there, either be it an IP phone or handsets or headsets. So, for example, you know, in OCS, we had the Tanjay device, which was an IP phone. But we recognized that there was a huge need for IP phones there in the market. The reality is that when we deploy solutions, we are seeing actually a 60-40% mix. We're seeing about 60% of handsets and versus 40% of headsets. So you're going to see that mix where, and that number will keep increasing with more headsets coming on board. So you've got all these PoE phones there, or if you don't have a PoE switch, you can, you know, just drive through a power adapter or just a Link client as well. So you've got a choice. You've got Snom, you've got Astra, you've got Polycom. Come to our stands, go to the Polycom stands, go to the Astra stands. They've got a whole heap of phones, conference room phones, as well as common area phones and your, you know, what we call as knowledge area phones. So when we, again, I mean, this session is about how do you deploy enterprise telephony features using Link. So when it comes to that, the first thing in your mind is all of you have got a PIVX, right? And you want to see that how can I now use Link on top of my existing PIVX, or how do I, you know, interop with that PIVX and then go forward with my Link plans. So the first thing is there's three types of integrations or three types of ways you can deploy Link as a voice platform. So the first thing is replace your PIVX. You know, you've got an aging PIVX and you've already decided you're going to replace that PIVX. You know, the traditional, you know, migration away from your existing PIVX overnight or over the weekend, you remove their phones, you roll out Link IP phones, and away you go. That's your replace your PIVX option where that happens overnight. Like you've done if you guys have changed PIVXs in your organizations. The other option is to connect with your PIVX, or what we call as the enhance option, where you've got your existing PIVX, but you still want to use Link Enterprise Voice features. It can be just using Link Voice for a subset of them, or using it as a soft phone, and that's what we call as the enhance feature. So we say, yeah, I can't replace everything yet. So that's the option there, and we'll go through those as well. And the last option is you want to retain your PIVX. You want to keep call control within your PIVX, but you just want to leverage the presence engine from Link. You want to leverage just the conferencing workload in Link. So that's the third option where you can do that as well. So it gives you a choice. We're not saying that you don't have to go about replacing everything because there's telephony, but it's a journey that you can take about. Sorry?
I said, yes, we are.
Okay, so when it comes to the last option, which is, you know, you want to retain your PIVX, right? But you want to use the Link as an IM platform only. In this case, you have got two choices, really. The first choice is server-side integration, which is remote call control. And the second choice is client-side integration, which is using plugins from different vendors, such as Cisco, Avaya, NEC, and so on. So remote call control is when you actually integrate the two systems, or the PIVX and Link, at the back end, where you right-click, call a person, and it actually goes off your phone, and it makes the call out for you. So really, what Link is doing is just signaling. And all the media path is on your phone. That's call control. That gives you IM as well. Today, it doesn't give you conferencing. It doesn't give you video. But that's coming in the next cumulative update. The second option in retaining the PIVX model is plugins. Now, plugins, as I said, is a client-side integration. It uses APIs. I mean, this is one of the best uses of Link APIs I've seen, where PIVX vendors have gone and leveraged our API to actually build onto Link, or actually build a subset onto Link, which pretty much dumbs down Link to just an IM client and uses everything on your PIVX stack. So as long as you've got your PIVX stack doing web conferencing, video chat, video calls, and audio conferencing, then you can use that. But more on this in the next session that Paul Dolly and Victor are running, which is called the interoperability session with legacy systems, which is straight after this in Central A. And they're actually going to run you through some scenarios where you can use what are the pros and cons of each of these kind of scenarios of retain the PIVX.
Oh, what happened to my cross?
That's for you to say.
Okay. It's rubbish. It's rubbish, it's too hard, it's a horrible user experience, don't do it.
Right. So with replacing a PBX, this is where you're going to say that, okay, I've got my existing PBX, which is end of life, and I need to move away to a different PBX, or you may have a journey to move away from your existing PBX into Link. And where you're actually having Link with telephony feature sets. You're enabling enterprise voice workload for your users, right? So this is your transition path. How do you transition? You can deploy a direct SIP channel between the two, or you can deploy a gateway between the two, or PBX and your Link platform. So when you think of a gateway, you've got a couple of models. You can have an upstream gateway or a downstream gateway. What do we mean by that? Your PBX connects to the PSTN world. You can, if you put your gateway above your PBX, that is in front of your PSTN, that is an upstream, and the gateway then decides when a call comes in, is it a Link call or is it a PBX call, and forks the call appropriately. A downstream model is a more conservative approach where you might think that you want to introduce Link voice as a pilot in your organization, you know, just to get started off, see how you go, and then, you know, make your decision. Then you're going to have gateway downstream, where you start, your PBX remains as is, but you have gateway beneath that, and you have either a SIP trunk between your PBX and your gateway, or just a regular E1 PRI channel between your gateway and your PBX. And then beneath that gateway is Link. Again, we'll show you some diagrams, and Brendan will take you through the scenarios as well. But what is important to recognize is the call routing. What it means in this scenario is that both of us may have been PBX users. Let's say I've moved into the Link platform, in which case that my existing number has been removed from the PBX and has been provisioned as a SIP ID on Link. So someone calls my old number, basically the PBX goes, yeah, send it to the gateway. Gateway goes, send it to Link, and Link rings, the endpoint rings. It's important to, in this scenario, it's really important to consider your intra-PBX call volumes, because a lot of design decisions is based on that intra-PBX call volume. So if you're going to the type of connectivity between Link and your PBX, whether it's through a regular QSIG channel or a SIP trunk channel, you need to size your channels based on the intra-PBX volumes, or between your existing PBX and Link. Okay, so the third option is connecting with PBX or enhancing your existing scenario. In this case, you've got your PBX, but you also want to use Link as a soft phone, or you want to roll out Link as a telephony platform for a subset of users, maybe in a branch office, maybe your mobile users, maybe a new site that you've acquired and you need to put a new PBX in. In this case, how do you interop with your existing PBX is through direct SIP channel, or basically it's a SIP trunk between Link and your IP PBX. There's a few PBXs that can do this, which is your, there's a list on our website, which is on our open interoperability forum, and you need to match your firmware on your PBX or version on your PBX that allows you to do direct SIP. If your PBX is an old PBX, a TDM PBX, then you need a gateway between the two, and again, as I said, you make the decision whether it's upstream or downstream. But things to consider in this model is, what workloads do you want to retain in your in Link, or what workloads do you want Link to give to a user? IM, presence, conferencing, and you want telephony for them, or do you want them to not do telephony? So you've got to consider those things before you actually make use of a particular model. In other words, before you actually deploy connecting your existing PBX with Link, profile your users. Think about what feature sets within Link they need most, and then make a decision on your integration feature set. So key takeaway on this slide is, when you are actually doing that, make sure you're actually having supported scenarios. We have a whole list of supported scenarios on our website in terms of the OIP page, which allows you to actually decide whether you can do direct ship with that PBX, or you need to buy a gateway or invest in a gateway. So Brendan's going to take you through deployment methodology, and we're going to drive you through some demos of some feature set of voice feature sets as well.
Cool. So the session was called Go Big for Voice for a reason, and that reason is to go big with voice. So the main purpose and what I'm going to go through here is around what that core architecture looks like and what that process is to go big with voice. I'm also when I say go big, we're talking thousands and tens of thousands across an enterprise. If we're looking at this for a smaller company with hundreds, then anytime you see multiple servers, just replace it with one. But in order to go big with voice, you don't want to... Sorry, I'll step back. In a telephony environment, or in a customer, you're likely to see some head offices with a larger population and maybe a more critical voice workload. And you'll also see some satellite sites or branch offices that may be out in Whoop-Whoop, or they may be in capital cities around the country. In each of those, you don't want to end up in a situation where with every site, you're effectively redesigning a solution. Because effectively, you'll never get there. You'll be on a 10-year journey of design, which is a wonderful thing for consultants, but you don't actually deploy. So instead, just understand, make up some rules, some design principles around what a site looks like, some principles around how many different site types I have, and then just apply a common architecture to that deployment. So what we do, we break that into three major sections. We have a core, which is our highly available centralized infrastructure that controls that whole linked telephony environment. It is a core. It is not multiple cores until someone can convince me otherwise. And it's typically a single deployment in a single country. If the customer is a global, then maybe I'll let you have three of them in America, EMEA, and Asia. If it's an Australian-based deployment or a Southeast Asian-based deployment, it's one core. That core is highly available, and it contains those pool services and those core conferencing services around Link. It's also where management and centralized management is performed. We then have different site patterns, which are then quite similar around head offices and branches. The difference with head offices is typically just call volume and size. There is typically a higher resiliency in the voice aspect and a higher scale element to the gateways. And then in a branch office, it's many, many, many branch offices, hundreds typically. And so the drivers there in that branch office is about getting cost down to very repeatable, commoditized units to quickly deploy voice through them. So if we look at what's inside these patterns, a core, as I said, contains Link Enterprise Edition, which is DNS load balanced and also hardware load balanced for HTTP traffic. And that provides that core registration and conferencing capability for all users in the enterprise. It's back-ended by a SQL cluster that may be existing or it may be new. It typically will have some PSTN connectivity, either via a trunk or E1 services, to facilitate some centralized core capability, and that typically is dial-in conferencing, where you will want to provide dial-in conferencing for Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, but probably not a dial-in conference number for Wagga Wagga, right? So instead, you'll just trunk that into Sydney. It contains Exchange UM for voicemail services, two of them, or more if the scale needs it, or if the customer is on Office 365, those services would be in the cloud. The core also contains the edge, which also should be resilient, so double this diagram, with a couple of edge servers and reverse proxies of anyone's flavor to support that proxying, and again, that is centralized. The other one box there is a monitoring and archiving. Whether or not the customer has a requirement for archiving, it can be parked, but the customer does have a requirement for monitoring and CDR. It is a way that you gauge your link deployment. It's a way you identify issues that can arise, and it must be there in a core so that you're able to surface all that good monitoring data that is enabled by default.
So just for anyone that's interested to know what kind of data we capture in the monitoring server, come across to our UC Showcase And we've got a monitoring server that's running with live data in it, so we'll walk you through that data.
I can't read what's in the boxes, so I don't think you can either. Sorry about that. So in these head office and the branch patterns, as I said, they're very similar patterns, but a head office typically is just a little bit bigger. In the boxes, we see some typically gateway devices that interface to either a trunk service that's hosted by a trunk carrier like MyNetPhone or what have you, or a gateway service that backends onto traditional PSTN via E1 services, analog or BRI services. The options for in these cases are, as Andrew said yesterday, deploying a survivable branch appliance, which is a server and gateway all in one, and that provides that unit that sits in the closet out in one of these branch offices and provides that connectivity. For higher scale, you then separate that appliance or that SBA component and gateway component. Deploy a survivable branch server on a dedicated Windows server and a media gateway just to get higher scale up to 1,000 odd people in that one location. And then when resiliency is not required, a simple media gateway with no SBA may be all that's there. If there's an investment already in the underlying network, then maybe just local PSTN is all you need. And then also then in the fifth pattern, there's an option of having no infrastructure on site, and users will connect back to a core to get those services. Again, that design of that core is typically the same for every deployment. Two enterprise edition services provide that high availability. They can be virtualized, it's perfectly fine. Rule of thumb is 5,000 to 7,500 users per server. You need two for a high availability, so that pool is going to easily cater for 10,000 people. If you need more, just keep adding more for every 5,000 to 7,000 increments until you get to 8, and then it's too many. So you add a new pool and start the process again in that core. So that will scale up to the hundreds and 200s of thousands of users per core deployment. It's back-ended by a SQL cluster to host that enterprise edition, and again, that monitoring server sitting out on the side collecting data and saving it in the database. The other key thing that is, in a link world, it's overlooked, typically. In a traditional VoIP deployment by other vendors, it's some of the things that they do first in their engagement and in that planning phase. We need to understand what the customer's network, the data network is, and its ability to handle voice calls or voice and video media over that network. This is typically a parallel exercise that occurs in the customer over that journey. So as sites are being deployed, networks are being assessed and increased if required. The key thing with Link or voice and video, which is no different to any other product, is there's no free lunch in this. If you don't have VoIP today on your network and you introduce VoIP, it's introducing a new service on that data network, and implicit in that, it's going to take bandwidth. It sort of just can't go from anywhere.
So in other words, capacity plan for your network, and to show you all of those details, the networking session that's at 5 o'clock this evening is a good primer for you to actually help you with that dialogue.
Someone's got a question, but you can't get a Polycom until the end, or whatever those things are. The question is, what are the network the bandwidth requirements for a single audio channel? The answer to that is it depends. It's the same for any solution. So if we're running a G711 codec call without forward error correction, than a single direction we're looking at with overhead of 96 kilobits per second. With forward error correction. So forward error correction will kick in automatically when the network is rubbish and we need to start stacking those packets. So it goes up to about 120.
So that's G711, right? And that's commonly relevant of what PABX you use. So you're already running this if you're actually running a VoIP network today, right? However, RT audio is what link clients or link phones will automatically try to negotiate. And that codec with it has two variants of it. It can be a wideband codec or sampled at 16,000 samples, or a narrowband codec which samples at 8,000 samples. So if it's wideband, then it'll with forward error correction, it's about 54 kbps, which is almost less than half of what G711 does. Or if it's narrowband, it's about 22 kbps. So narrowband is what is today called toll quality within the VoIP world.
So I don't have Zoom it on here. Just the key thing when you're assessing the network, you need to understand the capacity that you're going to permit for real-time media. So if it's a 5 meg link, I'm going to make a judgment call that I'm going to say 500K of that link is going to be for real-time media. I'm going to prioritize the traffic in that 512K with quads. I'm going to set, you know, EF values across all my media and guarantee this little bucket here is capable. So that's effectively the bucket of bandwidth that you have. Now with that 500K, you then determine what a per call bandwidth is, so a session bandwidth. And that's where you determine what codec you would like the user to experience. Say it's G711 at 96K. You then say my session limit is 96, we'll round it up, 97K. So based on that, you've got a total bucket of 500 and a session limit that no one will exceed 97. That then means that about 5 and a bit calls can happen concurrently over that network link. So as part of that assessment, it's key for when that branch site is being deployed. You can still deploy the branch site without the network assessment. And there are two options. You have a horrible experience, potentially, because you haven't assessed the network and you don't know what's available. Or you simply zero down your session limits and say no calls are permitted over this network and PSTN rerouting will occur for every call. So take a branch office that has a little PBX sitting in the corner today and they ingress egress out of that PBX through a local E1 service, then you can offer exactly the same service with zero session limits and have a known call quality because there's no media going across the network. Question?
Jason had a question. Okay.
I have a question.
Hello.
Can you program a branch office basically to adjust the amount of VoIP calls allowed based on the throughput on the network at the time?
Can you, can you be dynamic in call allocation based on the current bandwidth at the time? I'm going to say no because it's an easier for me to say no than it is to say yes. But no, because I don't want to. this is a real answer. So effectively, we don't have a view, and this is a benefit. We don't have a view of what's going on the network. Right? And in order to get that view of what's going on in the network, I need to be very tight integrated into that router. And it would probably mean that I need that same router model or brand across my network. And that may be a really big investment. Where instead I can have any network, any router, and still just apply that quality level at the top and that guarantee into that quads setting. So that, for me, the preferred way is to get that guarantee. The flip of that is the codecs that can be used by default in Link are adaptive. So if they do experience some poor quality, they can throttle. But if you want to guarantee, you need to guarantee. Right? You can't be dynamic.
So an example of what you just said will be demonstrated later on today in the last session.
In your scenario where you've designed
You should go to the session later on this afternoon.
Yeah.
If a sixth call comes in and we've said there's only five, what will happen? The sixth call will not occur. And it will may reroute if the administrator has said any additional calls should reroute over the internet or over PSTN. It will guarantee the quality of the five in-flight calls.
So can we hold on to questions to the end before let's run
my
through
demo
the
is a lot better
well.
Than this stuff.
And if it's really network related, bandwidth related questions, I really encourage you to attend EXL 305. That's at the end of today. That's a full session dedicated for bandwidth, for call quality, for QoS, for CAC. So go to that. But we'll take these questions at the end as
well.
I
agree. The key reason I put this slide in is there's two ways of deploying voice on anyone's product, including Link. You deploy it and you hope. It might work. It might be rubbish. Or you deploy it and it's good. And you plan it and you guarantee a service level. I tend to deploy and hope. It's tricky. Yep. So going back onto the topics then, so we have this core. This core is common across whatever we're doing at that PBX level, whether we're surrounding it, we're chucking it out, or we're keeping it. It doesn't matter. We still need this core. Even if we're doing IM presence and just conferencing, we need a core. So that core is the first thing that gets established. If it's a pilot, it can be reduced and scaled later, but a core is a core is a core. There's one. So when we look at replacing the PBX, it's as Selvin said, someone has to work a weekend or not, and effectively a person comes to their desk on one day and they have this lovely, you know, old Cisco phone or something sitting there, and they come to work the next day and they have this lovely Polycom Astra phone sitting there. Phone is a phone, but it's a cutover where the old PBX has been thrown in the bin. So given that core's deployed, I'll hop on it a few more times, we then just need to look at what that individual specific site is, whether it's a head office or a branch office, and determine what their telephony requirements are and what the connectivity means effectively are in that site. Once we understand that, we need to get some tin if we are deploying local gateway services and order that hardware. So effectively, we know the pattern that is going to be deployed at the site. The hardware is ordered. There's always a lead time to hardware. And from there, it's now cookie cutter deploy. We know that this site is pattern 4. We know what a pattern 4 configuration looks like. We install the equipment. We configure the equipment. And then we go back to the core and make some site-specific adjustments around dial plans and some other site-specific information in order to get that core up. We then deploy handsets and enable full link, and those users are away. So as I said in that analysis stage, it's really about looking at what's on site. If it's a mine site out the back of beyond, then there may just be POTS analog services that are available that you'll be running into an analog style gateway. There may be PRI, there may be E1 services available, in that case you'll be interfacing, and there may be a combination of both required for emergency phones or what have you that are on site. So it's about understanding what's there. It's also about making a decision of, do we want a handset on everyone's desk? Or do we want to provide users the ability to choose? They have a soft client, being the Link client, and plug in a USB or a Bluetooth headset, and that then becomes their phone. Nervy. And the other key thing around this site is that the site may have specific application requirements. I've got this slide here because I want to do this demo more than anything else. So the site might have some specific application requirements around hunt groups or IVRs that are deployed at the site or other applications that are currently running on that PBX today. So if we're replacing the PBX with Link, we need to make sure that we, if it's still required, replace that application or remediate that application. If it's a call center, you've probably got a bit of work to do. If it's a simple hunt group IVR, you probably have less work to do.
So a common scenario is, you've got delegation where your manager's call is answered by someone in the team. That's something that's available in Link, but you've got to plan for that and, make sure that that is implemented in pattern for, Brendan said, for that particular site. So go over what features each of them are using and what is it that you want in Link. Are they really need that feature and so on? So it gives you an idea of not just rushing forward into a site, but you need to plan for that, just like any other telephony deployment.
So Selwyn and I were talking this morning around what demo should we do. It wasn't this morning, but I'll make it up. Around what demo should we do around going big with voice? And Selwyn said something that was rubbish. So
Brendan was lifting me off.
He's like, I don't want to do that. So, there's dial plans, there's normalization rules, and this voice routing, complex voice routing, all that's really boring. But so I thought response groups are a really powerful feature in Link and the underlying platform that is Link. They're also there's a web page short which I'll show you that is a little bit limiting at times if I want to do some creativeness. So what I'm going to show here is how I'm going to drop some calls into some response groups and take some call routing paths, and then I'm going to drop the call out of a response group into an IVR that, again, is running on Link. It's running on the underlying Link platform, but it's a custom-developed IVR that, using my C-sharp skills, was knocked up in 2 minutes.
So this is a live Link solution. How is it connected to PSTN?
My net phone, SIP trunk.
Yep, so it's connected to the PSTN through SIP trunking. So we'll actually call in from the outside.
Yeah, so this is our lab, aka production. I'm TS, so no one please, don't put a dial service on me at the moment. And yeah, it does the job. So who's familiar with response groups in Link?
Okay, just a few.
Cool. Okay. 34 people. So just to give you an overview of what response groups are, they're effectively a hunt group or a call routing group to figure out who the call needs to go to, what agent needs to take the calls. So in that concept, we have groups of people that receive calls for various call groups.
So in traditional telephony world, we're talking about an automated call distribution system or an ACD system, which we call as response group. The difference being that this is ACD really with steroids, and you'll see the power of this in a few minutes.
So we have a group of people, and here I have a group of one that I simply just define participation policy effectively and define who's in my group. It could be a distribution list or individual people. With that group of people, I then have queues. If a call comes in, I need to place it into a call queue that ultimately will go to a group of people. So I've got a call queue here that simply has what group this is going to go to.
And you can add additional queues on the back of this based on different algorithms in longest idle, parallel routing, sealed robin, round robin, whatnot.
Yep. And if the calls are in the queue for too long, I want to chuck them over to somebody else, I want to send them to voicemail, or if I get too many calls in this queue because my people are very inefficient, then I can, just disconnect the call and everyone goes away. Or I can send it to another queue. And this is a scenario I'm going to use here where I'm actually going to sort of bluff it. I'm going to forward the call out of this response group into my application. And then we have the IVR itself. So the IVR, to edit it, we sit on a website where you can see I've got an IVR called Online Banking. I give it a phone number. I play some welcome text, so I've got some WAV files here. I can set holiday information and all that really cool stuff, but my bank works 24/7. And then through that response group, I then provide prompts. You'll see the prompt in the demo. I'm using WAV file prompts. I'm not using text-to-speech for the most part. And then I can determine what my response values are. So if it's voice recognition, which is on by default, we can talk to this computer. It's amazing. And if I say one, or if I say funds, or if I press one on my phone, it's going to go to this queue, which will then forward to something else. And as you can see here, I've got a multi-step. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be dropping it into the IVR queue that I've defined.
And you can have multiple questions and answers, you know, drop to a different queue based on the response received.
So this is installed by default in every Link deployment, so on a standard edition server or what have you, response groups are there. Even if you don't have PSTN connectivity to Link today, run up some response groups and think about some business processes that happen with inside your company, company or your customer's company, and look at what response groups could do or do to assist that. A classic example is help desk. You know, this out of the box will service the needs of nearly every help desk that's deployed, or IT help desk that's deployed in customers. And it's free. Free is good. So I'm going to come into this queue, and I'm then going to forward the call out of a native Link response group into an application. So this application is a .NET app that's written using UCMA, which Nathan stands for Unified Communications.
Managed API.
What? Managed API. Wow. So as you can see, with this, so this is just the SDK that I installed in Visual Studio. I'm connecting it to my Link server. And I have a bunch of workflow controls that I'm dropping onto a Visual Studio project. I was considering dropping some more on, but I know it's going to break my app. But you can see I can accept a call, disconnect a call, transfer. I can get presence information. So I could have some code that says a call has come in. If someone's on do not disturb, give them some more calls. Or whatever. You know, like I can make routing decisions based on presence. Sort of cool. And you can see from I'm an infrastructure guy. But this dev stuff's not that hard. So you can see I route into this call. I play a welcome. I will say I've got a double welcome happening on this demo because I forgot to take it out. I play a double welcome. I ask a question. Based on the response, I branch the call. I ask for some more information, which is going to be a PIN. Based on that PIN acceptance, I'm going to validate it and make sure it's the right PIN. I'm then going to do some queries, and I'll come out with an account balance at the end. That account balance is going to come from SQL. This is my customer database. I don't have a lot of customers yet. And we can see the customer number is what I'm calling it. It's super secure. And I have an old balance and a new balance value. So I could simply be updating this table in code. I could be doing anything. So I'm simply going to query it and maybe say something during the call.
Run it.
Press play. Thank you.
That's it.
I've been telling everyone around, so tell me to press play. I'm in SQL. That's all right. Wrong play button. So what I'm doing, this is still, it's not quite ready for production yet. It's a console app. You can't log off this machine. So, you know, this would run as a Windows service if I was a real developer. So this application is now listening on a server. In Link, I've made an association in my link. I've actually added a contact in link, which is called an application endpoint, and associated it to this application that's running. So a call comes into link, it goes, oh yeah, I know who that number is, I know who that call is, I'm going to reroute it over to this server. Cool. So we're calling PSTN.
It's gone. So it's live.
When it all fails, try again. Why isn't that working?
Read on your app.
It's engaged. I reckon that's you. Nah, too hard. Well, you're sacked. That's MSIT's deployment. Sorry. Is it still on my screen?
Yep.
That's me.
Hello.
And welcome to the Royal Bank of Nigeria.
I'll just pump up the volume.
On your machine.
Ah, that'll control it. I'm going to go, oh. Darren, are you in the audience? I'm increasing my volume.
Yeah. You got clouded.
Yeah, that's the wrong. Darren is in the audience. You can go away.
Hello.
And welcome to the Royal Bank of Nigeria.
Your balances, recent transactions, funds transfers, and BPAY, press 1. For card inquiries, including card activation and lost or stolen cards, press 2. For home or personal loans, press 3.
If you're offering your account to transfer money into, please press 1. If you're offering your account to transfer money into, please press 1.
Don't worry about my screen.
Okay.
If you're offering your account to transfer money into, please press 1.
This is that double prompt I said.
If you would like to access your joint funds,
we're now in the IVR.
Please enter your PIN. Your PIN
1234
has been posted on Usenet for open reference.
Your balance was $12,327,476.00. Your new balance is $0.
Gee, that was hard work.
It was indeed.
So. So, that could have worked a little bit better, but give me a break, I'm under developer. So, you know, what's happened there is I've come into a default response group that's out of the box and anyone can do. I've then switched over to a simple UCMA app, which is extremely powerful, that I've asked for a PIN. It's recognised my PIN and happened to replay it back to me. It's then queried SQL and looked up some customer information. So if we think of real-life voice examples for these applications, they can cater for nearly any, you know, call group IVR that would be in any customer. There is some development to it, but it is not hard. I'm the infrastructure guy. It's easy. So that has nothing to do with that go big with voice, but I thought it'd be cool. Wait until the next demo. There isn't one.
We've got to find this.
So So replacing the PBX is about deploying, throwing the old system out, and there may be some remediation that's required at that location for applications or other services to complement or build third-party applications on top of Link. Connecting to the PBX, or maybe one time retiring the PBX, gives you some flexibility around retaining, for example, retaining those applications on the PBX until the people who need them no longer are employed, or starting that journey to remediate. Connecting to the PBX is also the best way, in my opinion, to do pilots. It's a low-risk operation, and we're able to stand up voice capability in Link while still retaining that core call functionality on the PBX today.
So if you want to trial Link as a telephony system and you want to do it, as Brendan mentions, in a low-risk situation, behind the PBX is what you'd be attempting to do, you know, either interoping through a gateway or directly as a SIP trunk from Link to your PBX.
Yeah, so that's effectively these two options. We either connect to the PBX using direct SIP or some E1 trunks, PRIs or BRIs or what have you, behind that PBX. Or in your case, we may just deploy something isolated, which is that bottom box there, where we disconnect or buy new lines and plug them into a gateway device, and these phone numbers will only route into Link. So you have the two options, depending on its choice. It's what you want to do, whether you want to have dedicated services either coming from a new E1, a new SIP trunk at that location, or you have, you know, interfaces behind a current PBX. So
typically, if you're not doing SIP trunking, you'd be doing Q6 signaling from PBX to a gateway to Link.
I hope everyone's eyes are good. So when we're looking at connecting here on these first two options, if we have one of those PBXs that are like this big and they sit in the corner of a room and they never get turned off and they just run, and but there's lots of cables and wires in them, so a traditional style PBX, we'll typically be interfacing into that PBX with a PRI or an E1 out the back of it. So the customer may have, say, three E1s coming into their PBX. And in order to sit behind it on that gateway, for a pilot, I'm just going to run one E1 out and run those interrupt number calls over across that one E1 to the Link system. If it's a newer PBX, so most IP PBXs, they'll support direct SIP. So I can enable SIP on the PBX if it lets me and if I can afford it. And I then run IP from that PBX to the gateway. The advantage of that is because you're already on IP, you're not constrained with your call volumes that can occur across those channels. If we're running E1 services, I may just run one E1, which is 30 channels across there. However, that won't support a larger scale pilot. I'll need to increase that E1 capacity because now there's intra-office calls happening on constrained channels. And then I can deploy isolated, where it's just a totally separate environment, as option three. Once that infrastructure is set up, so however you choose to connect to the PBX, and this is where Dolly's and Vactane, is it?
Yep.
Session after this is going to go into heaps more detail on interop and connectivity. But once that connectivity is established, it's then about how do we move people from their old phone to their new phone. And to do that, you'll typically establish some sort of call forward from the current environment to the new, whether that's a handset-based call forward or a PBX redirection.
So this is during your migration phase, right? I mean, you still have got your old PABX. You're either piloting Link and you want to just transfer your calls away from your existing PABX into Link. So that's one of the options.
I then have to provide the people with something, and that will be a Link client on their desktop and maybe a handset. You need to train them on one, not necessarily how to press a button on a phone, but if they're new to Link, it's a whole new experience for people. There's online meeting capability, dialing conferencing capability, and there's also some very advanced call features like delegation that does need a change management plan from a user education perspective. It's then about providing the person with a device, a physical or a headset, and soliciting feedback through this pilot and learning from that pilot to take to the eventual deployment. The key thing about pilot is being ready. And this is why at the start we have this concept of that core. By deploying a real core with infrastructure will mean that you're ready. You have scale capability at the back end core function. It's then about how you expand that through site deployments and many site deployments. The key thing is being ready, and in every customer deployment that I've seen, it's viral. Instant messaging is viral, and Link clients will be deployed or requested to be deployed across the organization rapidly for instant messaging and presence. Also, online meeting capability is going to trend upward as population sizes increases. Trend upward exponentially, be ready from a network standpoint and a user training standpoint. And audio-video calls will trend that's really based more around site deployment trending as it grows over a journey of 1, 2, 4 years of replacement. And you can see this rollout plan here is actually MSRT, and you can see how all deployments are coming in bursts and then steady state while the next site gets prepared, another burst, steady state, and what have you. And that would be typical in most customer deployments. So what we see from a lessons learned perspective, when customers go big with voice. I told you I'd harp on it, and I'm going to continue. That core and getting that core architecture defined up front is key. Convincing the customer, or convincing yourself if you're the customer, that you do not need a hardware load balancer for SIP traffic is key. Do not use it. Use the load balancer only for HTTP traffic. The user experience and understanding what your communications plan is to end users, providing them with training packs, be that face-to-face training or online training, and managing that communications plan is key. Being ready to transition from pilot to prod, and being ready means from a network and an infrastructure standpoint, we know where we can deploy and when. And continuing to enhance that service as I deploy and remediate any issues with that service and getting that last 5% so it is a robust voice solution is also key. To help on that communications planning, Microsoft has a bunch of stuff. There's a download, if you click on that bottom link, you won't find it. There's a download called the Link Adoption Kit. And that's a pack that includes some online web-based training videos, some flyers that you can give out to people as one-pager intros, and some larger several-page user guides that you can then provide to users, you know, after week one so that they can further explore the capability. So revisiting the takeaways and all the objectives of this session from the start. I think it's key to understand that Link can and does go big with voice. There's nothing holding it back with the correct planning and the correct methodology to deploy that through a customer site. It's also about understanding what that path and what that journey looks like. There's going to be no 10,000 seat enterprise that's going to say, I'm going to throw out every handset today and put a Link one in tomorrow. It'd be sort of cool. He'd be driving a very cool car and probably not here. But you know, customers aren't going to do that. It's going to always, for a large customer, be a many-year journey where it's visiting site by site or deployment by deployment in that transition to Link. You could win a touch mouse if you filled out a survey,
but
you could get thrown and knocked in the head a Plectronics and Jabra headset if you ask a really cool question. And no, I'm not going to re-demo. No, too late. You interrupted.
Yes.
That's in the whoa, this is heavy. Who was it?
Whoa. It can be any existing PABX, right? If you have a call manager, yes, you can interop, and probably if you have a call manager that is either release 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8, you can actually do a direct SIP trunk to it as well. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sorry, yes, at the back. And more.
What do we do with all the money we save in Cisco handset costs?
Giving it to me. What are you doing with the money you save with Cisco handset costs? Hopefully using it for something useful now. But that's it, right? So it's a 4x3 dial pad. There's lots of them.
So it's a
just
choice,
watch
right?
out in I mean... this general vicinity. I have public liability insurance.
There you go. Right, okay. So if you're on Office 365, if you want to replace your PABX with Office 365, that functionality isn't there today. Okay? So what you get out of Office 365 is really PC to PC calling at this point in time. You cannot egress a PSTN. The minute you egress to the PSTN or ingress in from PSTN, you become a carrier. So there's implications to it, but it is not there right now. Yep.
Gee, my aim's good.
Yep.
I
didn't really see much about those topics in this LinkedIn forum. Do you have anything
that's coming? Okay, so you mean our sessions?
Well, anything about those.
Sure. Okay, so a few things. We've actually got a few canned CBP, not demos, applications that you can download, use today in your environment. One of them is called I Am an Expert, Conversation Translator. So that's already available online, and you can download them and use them in your environment. But an extension of that is actually what Brendan actually showed using the IVR. That's actually one way of actually extending it too. So there's many ways. I mean, if you want to have a chat, I'll take that offline.
Yeah, there's some great examples on what people have done to enable that.
A difficult question. Can you
do one? If I can't throw that far.
Paging.
Yep.
Okay, I can take that.
Yeah, send them an IM.
Yeah, right. So.
It doesn't really work for a lockdown situation with the school.
Yeah, okay, so actually that's a really good example. I mean, there's an example of paging using that CBP application that we just talked about in a classic example of truancy. And talk to me more about that, and I'll tell you where we've done this. But in principle, you can do paging, but not from your phone set. Your phone is locked down. The load on that is a Link Phone Edition load, which you cannot remove and transpose. But you can do all of that, what you ask, from your desktop. If you want, you can send an SMS from your IM2 a mobile phone using an SMS gateway and actually a CBP app as well. So you can do things, but not just from the phone. But we'll talk more about Truency and actually automate that. Instead of actually having the phone to actually page, we can do some clever stuff. Shared office environment. We can, as in doing shared services?
Yeah.
So you want to provide, so you can do DL segregation. So there's apps today for that, but there's also a DL segregation that we can do using Link as well. Or you can, another way to look at it is actually Office 365, depending on workloads that you want. Don't know if you've got.
So what's a shared?
Well, he wants to provide services to, you know, a shared service to different organizations from the same thing. Yeah.
There's a hosting pack coming out for Link in a couple of weeks.
Capability? Yes, absolutely. So call accounting and call billing capability. So I'll take that as a two-part question. So call billing, absolutely. Call billing is done by, like with any other telephony vendor, it's done by third parties. And we've got, we do CDR. All CDRs are captured within Link. But you've got third parties that actually use those CDRs and transpose them into bills and actually reconciliate against, say, a Telstra or an Optus bill. And call accounting is for someone like lawyers and so on. We've got call accounting packages as well that can hook onto Link and you can bill per minute and so on.
Okay.
And speak to me later on and I'll tell you the names. I
have another question.
Oh.
Whoa.
That one's not going to work.
Can you do an analog gateway without including the SBA?
Yes.
Yes. Go and speak to NET who are out there. Go and speak to Dialogic who are out there. They've actually got an analog gateway on display there, actually doing an analog call out to a Link system.
What provisions are there for skills-based routing in Link?
Skills-based routing in Link?
So, okay. There is rudimentary skills-based routing, right? If you're asking about like a contact center-based skills-based routing, with priority routing based on skills, that isn't available in Link. That's a contact center. We've got contact center add-ons that can go onto Link, made by third parties, right? But you can, like what Brendan actually did, based on your responses, you can route based on the response to a particular queue that is specialized in a skill. Yes, we can do it, but it's just rudimentary skills.
Yeah, the key thing is you can buy it as a plugin or make it yourself.
Or use the inbuilt one, which is rudimentary. Sorry, yes. So I'm going to answer that in two ways. If you've got old OCS IP phones, there is phone updates that is available with Link that you can update those IP phones to the Link phone edition. But if you're talking about generic SIP phones, that's a different story. We don't make a phone edition for those SIP phones, but those SIP phones can work using a gateway against Link.
We're out of goods.
Yep, so.
But we'll still take questions if you do have questions. So the question is there any incompatibilities with current phone systems? I'll take that. Part of the reason Microsoft certifies a solution or qualifies a support of a solution, and that has some very defined interfaces or gateways or direct connectivity. When you have that solution, you are assured that all functionality works. Okay? But if you go outside of that qualification and try and directly integrate with, you know, Bob's PBX2, I don't know if it would work. Cool, so if you go through a supported way, and that gateway will be then supported against that PBX. Cool?
So regardless of that, right?
Yes, you will. You'll get all your call control features functional between two systems. Correct.
Question there. Yep, there's ethical walls or DL segregation that's available as third parties. I can't recall the name straight away, but yeah, just reach out to me. I think I can't remember.
There's a sample application that's available to download that gives you an idea of how to do it. That's one. There's third parties that you can buy as two. There's a hosting pack coming out in a few weeks is three that will give you a DL further GEL segmentation, but it won't stop people talking.
Correct.
That's it.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the hosting pack, I think. Yeah.
Sorry, we can't hear you.
I can get it.
Voice VLANs.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, Link supports dynamic VLAN allocation through LLDP, whatever, and that handset can then be allocated on VLAN 4 while the tethered computer is on VLAN 1. Absolutely fine.
But what you've got to consider is because it's a UC solution, you're going to drive soft phone capability out of Link more than you drive from the phone. So in that case, how is your packets going to be marked, right? So at its core, you can mark your packets coming out of your PC and then push it into the right LLDP as well.
So you can absolutely do it. But maybe in a Link solution, there's less of a requirement to do it. But you can do it.
When we are integrating with an existing IPvX and the active so-called voice call, just get onto video. What happens to the audio part? Does it go back to the PC?
Active.
If I'm on a peer-to-peer call that's started with audio, and I then introduce video, it's a peer-to-peer call. Audio and video is peer-to-peer. Oh, you're on a handset, sorry. So you'll have two media paths, a handset to handset for audio and video to video media paths. Yep. Say again? Night bells.
So again, night bells, the same scenario as existing ones, right? I mean, we don't make night bells as Polycom or Astra, but you can have generic night bells that work off. So either through analog lines or an IP night bell, you can have them interop through Link, through a gateway, or directly if it's a SIP night bell.
I guess the question is more about in Link, can I set it up so that you know, press a button or do something like that,
it'll diverge as evening calls through a night bell. Yeah, so we can automate the task. So we can set up, like Brendan showed, we can set up the queue system or the number that's coming in with an office hours, and we can say after 5 p.m. send it out to night bell.
Yep.
That can be automated.
Or even a person can have that preference as well.
And if it needs to be changed on the fly, you can get selective browser access to change that.
No, that's native response group capability.
Yeah,
it's
and it's
also native capability on the Link client for an individual if that was the case.
Yep. So today in the showcase, there's Aspect, who make two kinds of contact centers, a sub-100 contact center and a higher than 100 contact center. So these are native contact centers for Link. There's other providers that actually make contact centers as well. Interactive Intelligence, Verify. There's a lot of them.
Client policy. Set CS client policy. Something?
Yep. So that is our aim. Correct, yeah. That is our aim. There's a mobility session that's going to cover some of that. But come and see me later on, and we can have a chat on your requirements. Okay, so I think we've got to wind up for the next one, but if you've got questions, we'll be around here, so come and chat with us. Thanks everybody.